Good morning. We're so glad that you're here today. Thank you for being a part of Lake Point Church this morning and worship with us. And if you're a guest with us, this is your first time with us here, we're so glad that you're here. And as you came in, you should have received a program. Inside that program is that little connection card that Pastor Tom was just talking about. Every card that gets turned in, we're going to donate $5 to Life Challenge. Incredible ministry of what God is doing right there, right in our local area. And so consider filling this out. And then at the end of the service, you can drop it in any one of our offering boxes. And you can just drop it in there. And if you're a guest with us, I'd love to meet you. And I'd love to give you a free gift. And thank you for coming. And this is our third service this morning already. We had one last night, of course, the 9:15. And we've just seen God respond in some powerful ways so far this weekend. And we're just blessed and honored to have our special guest, Michael Perrin. And Michael Perrin is from Dallas, Texas. Got a family. You can talk about that in a few minutes. And I got a wonderful family down in Texas. And, of course, he was... part of his story is that he was part of the 90s Abs of Steel. And you know, you remember his face. I remember seeing him on ESPN. I remember seeing him in all the commercials. Back then, you couldn't fast forward through the commercials. You know, TiVo, you know, you didn't have DVR back then. You were, you know, so you saw him all the time, you know, in the 90s. And so how it came about, I saw him on a Bible study, and I was like, man, what an incredible story. I remember him, and so I just kind of Google searched him, found him, and reached out to him, and formally met him in person on Friday afternoon, and I flew in, and we went downtown Detroit, and we went up to the iconic Detroit train station, a famous Detroit train station. We had a connection, and we kind of walked through there, and then we went to the rooftop, and just incredible views. If you saw my video, I didn't realize I've done this. I had just met the guy an hour ago. And while I'm talking about him, introducing him, and I said, Abs of Steel, I took my hand, I backslapped his abs. And I didn't even realize it until I watched it later. And I'm looking, I'm like, man, and, you know, he's shocked. I mean, we just met an hour ago. And I'm looking at it and saying, I've just disrespected the abs. And I'm like, I'm just glad Michael, you know, throw me off the roof. I mean, could have done that. And but anyway, we spent a Friday today together, and we went out to eat. You know, we went to Ford Garage. You know, I've got me a one of those brisket barbecue cheese melt sandwich, onion rings, and then I didn't hear what he ordered. He ordered a salad. And I'm like, oh man, he is judging my meal here. I mean, it's just, you know, so the whole weekend, I'll tell you what I've been doing the whole weekend. I've been sucking it up. Anyway, I tell you though, at the end of the day, I told my wife just last night, I felt like I made a new ministry friend. And his heart is real, his story is incredible. And no matter where you are today, no matter how broken you might be, you're going to learn that there's a way for restoration. And so I know you'll be blessed by the message this morning. Why don't you give a warm Lake Point welcome to Michael?
You didn't offend the abs. It's okay. It's okay. Good morning. Good morning. I just want to, first of all, just take a moment and pause and honor Pastor Scott, Pastor Chris, the First Lady. I call her that, and it just drives her nuts. You know what you can do for me this morning, this week? Be sure you pray for them. Be sure you pray for all of the team. I mean, the worship team, I mean, they make our jobs easy. You know, I mean, who can't do well after stepping onto the stage after that kind of worship where we're just pursuing and chasing after the face of God? So thank you all. It's team in the back. I mean, I know you've got workers everywhere, but I have felt... It's Michigan nice. I mean, everywhere I go, people are nice, they're friendly, they just reach out and just say thank you very much. But it's an honor to be with you. Yes, Welcome from, howdy from Texas, as they say, y'all. Here's the problem, though. I'm from Minnesota originally. You know, I get kind of mixed up, but it's great to be back in the Midwest. I love it. In Dallas, I have been married 26 years to an amazing woman. Her name is Christina. I think she's watching, actually. And we have three children. We have a 24-year-old who is in Norfolk, Virginia. He is currently serving as a naval officer on a destroyer. He's married, but they're based out of Norfolk. Yeah. Shout out. He was part of the Houthi adventure over the summer. And so, mercifully, he came back by the grace of God. We also have a daughter who's 22. She is currently a senior at Oklahoma Baptist University, and she's engaged to be married in May. And then we have a 10-year-old. I knew somebody was going to do that. Did you hear this? It's like, wait a minute. You know, there's a solution for that. Yeah, well, yes, I understand human biology. I get it. But here's the really great part. We received her because we adopted her at birth. It was a situation with a young lady. It wasn't a great situation for her. Nevertheless, the Lord has a plan, and his supernatural hand was upon that. We met her, prayed with her, and at the end of the prayer, she looked at my wife and I, and she said, will you guys adopt my baby? I mean, and yes, exactly. What do you say to that, right? So just heads up, okay, anybody. No, honestly, it is not for everybody. But it is one of those moments in your life where you know that if you didn't do it, you would be disobedient to what the Lord is asking you to do. Yeah, so we pressed into obedience. It was great until we got the school email, welcome to the class of 2032. And my wife and I just went, oh my God. It was just, I mean, we're going to have grandchildren that old before, anyway. But listen, thank you. Again, for just the reception and just the spirit of this church. It is an amazing, amazing gathering that you have here. So, Pastor, well done. First Lady, well done, okay? Former abs of steel person. People say, do you still have your abs? Yes, they're kind of hidden a little bit more than they were. I don't do it for a profession anymore. But yes, I do, as a matter of fact. I think the guys have a picture, as a matter of fact. At one time, in one day, there you go. Okay, you can take it down. So, let's focus here. Let's get holy here. All right. But did the cover of Men's Fitness magazine, got called from the producer of Abs of Steel, Chest of Steel, Buns of Steel, that whole production line, Time Warner, actually. And yes, they're VHS, so you probably can't even watch them anymore. And then I got a call from this guy that had a television show on the beach. Body shaping co-ed, the co-ed training thing is what he wanted me to do. And I said, yes, I'd be honored to do that. Which was great, because on the outside, I had everything put together. Inside, I was a train wreck. I was preaching health and wellness. I was preaching, get healthy, take time, exercise, and then I'm going in the bathroom and I'm snorting methamphetamine. The hypocrisy was palpable. Because here's the deal, I knew better than that. I had come into a relationship with Jesus years and years before. I had been involved in a church. We'll get into that a little bit more. But in that one moment, I made a decision to turn and run the opposite direction from what the Father had for me. And I took it for everything it could possibly give you. And Ecclesiastes says this, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And I discovered that firsthand. There's a picture of Rembrandt that kind of deals with the passage of scripture that we're going to cover. And it's the return of the prodigal. So in this painting that's actually 6 feet by 8 feet, it's a massive painting. It currently resides in Russia, unfortunately. So we're not able to see much of it. But we do have this rendition of what he envisioned for the story in Luke chapter 15 of the return of the prodigal son. Maybe you've heard that stated before. My hope for you tonight is this. I hope that by the end of our little talk here this morning, you will no longer refer to it as the story of the prodigal son, I hope you hear it and read it the way I see it now, which is the merciful Father who waits. It's the third of a triad, and there's three stories that Jesus tells us. Verses, it's the entire chapter of Luke chapter 15. For the sake of time, and because Holy Spirit kind of encouraged me to do it this morning, I'm going to allow you to read most of that on your own. We'll have it up on the screen, but I'm going to surmise kind of the passage of Scripture in order to get to what I believe the Lord wants me to get to right now. So Luke chapter 15, verse 1, we have a group of people. Many tax collectors and notorious sinners gathered around, and Jesus taught the people. Here was the problem. The religious people had an issue. And their issue was, look who Jesus is hanging around with. I mean, doesn't he know who they are? I mean, look at them. They don't come to temple. They don't tithe. They don't obey the laws. They don't follow what we're trying to do. No, they're notorious sinners. So there's this separation. You've got the notorious sinners over here. You have the religious higher-ups over on this side. And Jesus comes along, and he's talking to both groups. He's trying to meet them right in the middle. And here's what I believe Jesus really wanted to do in this parable. It's not to beat up the religious people. It's actually to allow them an opportunity to step into a relationship. Obviously, the sinners knew who they were. They had their identity. They had the label. They had the shawl or the cloak or the robe that they wore around that identified them as a leper, as a blind person, as a paralytic. People could tell who they were. The problem was these folks over here, because they had it all together. They looked the part. They talked the part. They acted the part. So they were good. That was me. That was exactly who I was. And Jesus then starts in verse 4 speaking to this group. And he starts with this parable, again, of a shepherd who lost one sheep, a lamb. And the lamb runs off into the wilderness and doesn't know how to get back. And it says the shepherd leaves the 99 to go after the one. Because in the moment of panic, in a moment of shock, in a moment in which something unexpected happens, if you've ever spent time around sheep, especially yearlings, a loud noise, a bee, a bird, I mean, a gunshot, I mean, they scatter everywhere. And the story relates to this lamb who ran away, and it ran away aimlessly. It just found itself in the wilderness. It wasn't purposeful. It wasn't done with malice. It was in response to something that happened to them. I'll expand on that in just a moment. The second parable he gets into is the parable of a woman. She has 10 coins. She loses one of them, and she starts looking. She won't stop. She looks in every nook and cranny. She takes a lamp or a light, most likely, and she starts walking around searching for this lost coin. And the coin was lost carelessly. I mean, nobody loses a coin on purpose. The coin was lost carelessly. Scholars say that the coin was probably worth about $1,200. I'd be searching for that too. I don't know about you. But off she goes with the light. And she's searching for this coin until she finally finds it. She gathers all her friends together and says, come celebrate with me. The coin that I've lost, I've found. And then we get to the third part of this triad. And the third part is the one that a lot of people are most familiar with, which is the parable of the prodigal son. Again, it's the merciful father, y'all. You have a young son, and he approaches his father, and he says to his dad, Father, don't you think it's time for me to get my share of the inheritance? What he's saying is, Dad, I wish you were dead. That's not the Hebrew either. That is exactly what this guy was saying. Because the only way for somebody to receive an inheritance is for the individual to die, and then he bestows the inheritance upon his children. So he says to his dad, hey, Dad, I wish you were dead. And the dad gives him what he said he desired. He disperses his inheritance to the younger son and the older son. The younger son goes off into the far-off land, And it says that he wasted his life on, some versions say, on prodigal living. But he wasted it on extravagant, reckless, unbridled lifestyle. He still had a father. The coin, even though it was lost, still had somebody who owned it. And guess what? The sheep that wandered away aimlessly, it still had a shepherd. You see, here's the deal. No matter where you are this morning, ownership is never the issue. You have a shepherd. You have a Holy Spirit. And you have a Father. And you are their possession. No matter where you are, or where you find yourself, if it's in the nooks and crannies, if it's off in the wilderness, maybe you're in the far-off land. The parable goes on with the son, and it continues, and it says this. He got so desperate, he started feeding pigs. Now, for a Jewish boy to spend time around pigs, you couldn't go much lower. But here he is feeding the pigs, and he's so famished that he says, I'm going to eat what the pigs eat. And it says, and when no one would do anything for him, he remembered who he was. Now, we imagine that that was instantaneous. Like, nobody did anything for him. He's in the pig pen, literally. And then all of a sudden, oh, I remember who I am. I'm not so sure it was that quick. It could have been a week. It could have been a day. It could have been a month, a year, 7 years. Here's a word for somebody here this morning. You may have a prodigal right now. Wait. You wait. You sit on the porch, you keep the door open, and you wait. You pray. You can send the shepherds out. Doesn't do a lot of good for a prodigal because they've already made up their mind. But you just wait. That was my life. Before we get into the nuances, not only of the story, but of my existence, I want to define some terms so that we all kind of know what we're talking about, okay? I think that's important to understand. First word that I want to talk to you about is the word sin. Sin. My growing up, I attended church, and sin to me was when I did something wrong or didn't do something I was supposed to. Sin of omission, sin of commission. Maybe you have been around long enough to hear those two words. Sin is when you do something wrong. Here's the truth. It's not. Sin has nothing to do with your behavior. Matter of fact, hamartia is the word. There it is. An error in understanding in agreement with the delusion. That's sin. Because before you behave in a sinful manner, you have to agree with the lie first. So sin could, it looks, this is how you see it in the behavior, but it's an inner agreement that you have. I say it like this. If you agree with a lie, you give authority to the liar. And then you're going to manifest the lie as opposed to manifesting who you are in Jesus. Okay, that's sin. Got that out of the way. Now, what is repentance? Because every story says there was a sinner and they repented. It's a word that's thrown around a lot. I thought, again, you're walking this direction. Ooh, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to repent and turn the other way and walk this direction. Maybe you've heard it. Repentance is a change of behavior headed the other direction from where you were coming. What's the problem with that? Sin has nothing to do with behavior. Sin is a mindset. So repentance has to be something other than what I thought it was for years and years and years. And it is. Repentance is right here. Metanoia is the word that is used. Meta, okay? Meta means to alter, to change, metamorphosis. Maybe you kind of understand what that is. And then noia is the mind. So you put them both together to alter one's thinking. That's the literal definition. Strong's Concordance. You can go get nerdy and look it up later. So sin is an agreement with a lie. Repentance is when I change the way I think to agree with the truth. All right, amen? Okay, let's keep going. Sin is not what you do. Sin is when you choose to agree with a lie. Repentance is not going the other direction. Repentance is actually remembering who you are and heading that way. Listen, God does not want to change any of you this morning. He just wants you to become more of who he created you to be. See, it's going to look like change to others. It's not change. You're just stepping into your identity as a son or a daughter of the King. But the coin now, we'll go back to that. The coin was lost, aimlessly. The coin was in the dark, had no way of finding its way back. The illuminating light of the Spirit searches for it and eventually finds it. That was me. 27 years. I tried to make sense out of life through my value from the world's perspective. A value from the world's perspective. I need somebody younger than the age of 13 to come up here. Anybody, come on quick. Come on. Boy, she was like, look out. She's like, ready to go. Hey, what's going on, man? How are you? Listen, okay, you see this, okay? This is a piece of paper. Watch what happens, though. How much is this worth?
$20.
She says it's worth $20. Okay, why is it worth $20?
Because it's money, and it says $20 right there.
Okay, thank you. You keep that. You just illustrated my point. She said the reason why it's worth $20 is because it says it's worth $20. It's not worth $20, but it's worth about 74 cents. That's how much it takes to produce a $20 bill. Perfect, that's all I needed. It's yours. Take it. She's like, I get to go to Ulta later. This is awesome. You're welcome. He's like, breakfast. I'm like, I don't think so, Dad. She illustrated exactly what the coin is. Our value, our worth for somebody who's lost like a coin is what you can produce. Not what God says. No. It's what the world says. The world says you're valuable because of this, because you can do these things, you can produce this, you have this, you get to go here. It's all that stuff that the world system wants to manufacture in order to attribute value to somebody. It's an extrinsic value, though. It's not intrinsic at all. That's what I went after, though. The world did not make sense to me. 27 years, I tried to make sense of it. The age of 16, started drinking, smoking dope. I managed somehow to get into college, Arizona State University. Not the smartest choice in the world for a drug addict, just FYI. But I managed to get in, bombed out of Arizona State University, went back, went through drug treatment, got out a week later, got a DUI, second time, went back into drug treatment. And my problem wasn't the fact I didn't have support or information. My problem was I didn't want to be found. I just wanted to stay in the dark because of the shame and the guilt and the pain associated with my behavior. All I wanted you to know about Michael is just look at me. That's why Abs of Steel and Men's Fitness and body shaping and all that was the perfect job, because nobody asks you a lot of questions. If you're producing, if you look the part, if you say you're okay, nobody's going to bother you, which is great until it's not. Because I had pretty much everything the world will tell you you should have to be content, peaceful, hopeful, and expectant. My people say, well, you had to reach your bottom, gang. My bottom was the top of the world. And I didn't know Jesus. A woman came up to me and shared the message of hope in Jesus. There's forgiveness in Jesus, is what she said. And she said, would you like to receive him? And I said, in my arrogance and pride, it was really more shame, I said, nope, I'm good. Just like I'd said for 27 years. You had a DUI. Oh, it's fine, I'll take care of it. Because I had an image, like a coin. My value was determined by what you thought of me. There are some in this room this morning that your entire worth, your entire value is what those people are saying about you or not saying about you. There is a Father. There is a Spirit that is searching right now for you, whoever you are, And it's trying to find you, and it's trying to say to you, yeah, your identity and your value isn't determined by the number on a piece of paper. It's determined by what I say to you. And I say, you are flawless in my sight. That's what the Lord says to you this morning. So, but the coin was lost carelessly. I eventually arrived at a place after using cocaine for 3 days that I made a decision. And the decision was this. Even though I had what the world would tell you was great, I was miserable. And I made the decision. The life I'm living is not going to be around tomorrow. And I had an idea. My idea was to end my life. But as I sat in on the side of my bed, the words of this lady, Jesus forgives. Jesus, just over and over and over again. Until finally I set the gun down, and my salvation prayer was, help. That's it. Help. And something happened. I can't tell you exactly what it was, but something shifted in who I perceived myself to be. Called the lady. She was elated, just like the woman who found the coin. Let's gather all of our friends and we'll throw a party. It was just like that. Got plugged into a church, was involved in the singles ministry, and I was one of the leaders in the singles ministry. Welcome people as they come in. I looked the part. I dressed the part. It was a little bit shady for me because, remember, 27 years, it was all about how you looked, how you appeared. And I kind of stepped into that over here in Christianity. And so I could do church. I could say, oh, everything's fine. Bless you. God bless you. There was still a train on a track, if you know what I'm saying, for me, because something had been misidentified in me. So, church leadership, you're not supposed to drink. I knew that. And yet, I believed the lie one more time, went out on a Thursday night and drank alcohol. Came back, told my roommate who was part of the church I attended, and I was broken before him. I was going to tell the pastor that Sunday what I had done, come under correction, come under the consequences of my choice. But before I did that, my roommate went and told the pastor. And then I get a knock on the door, Saturday morning, this is 2 days later, 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm not sure who it is, but I open the door, and there's my parents. They flew my parents to Texas from Minnesota. They had a therapist, a counselor, drug counselor. They had this woman who shared the message of salvation. They had the pastor of our church, and then obviously we had our roommate. What they were doing is they were having an intervention with me. Hopefully, if you don't know what that word means, I pray that you never have to understand what an intervention is, because it is not a pleasant endeavor. But it's when a group of people gather around somebody that they love, and they encourage them, in no uncertain terms, that they think they need to go receive treatment, help, whatever it happens to be. And so we talked, and they said, you need to go to inpatient drug treatment again. Yes, no, back and forth, back and forth. And I said, I'm not going. I'll come under correction. I'll come under discipline. I'll be discipled, whatever. But I'm not going to go to inpatient drug treatment for drinking on a Thursday night. Well, I went to work, came home, and they had taken all my things and stuck them in the front yard. My bed, my dresser, my clothes, my toiletries, my shoes, everything that I had, my CDs. If you don't know what CDs is, sorry, you're too young. My CDs, stuck them all in the front yard of the house that I was living in. And that's it. So I drive home in my truck, I see what's going on, and something unexpected happened to me. Just like the lamb. You know, remember the lamb? They get kind of skittish and they run off, and then they find themselves in the wilderness and they're like, how in the world did I ever get here? That's what happened to me in that moment. The panic, the shock, the awe, the trauma, the crisis, the grief, the loss, all those things happened, and what did I do? I went back to the thing that was familiar. I called up a buddy of mine. I said, hey, can you meet me? It's a drug dealer. He said, yep, haven't talked to you in a while. I said, yeah, I've been busy. And off I went. That was the weekend that lasted 4.5 years. Off I went. And that's also the moment in which the world came in abundance to me. That's when the ESPN and Men's Fitness and everything grew to a point where I just could not get out from underneath it. But like the lamb, I was off in the wilderness, and I didn't know how to get back home. I mean, I had shepherds try to find me, you know, counselors and friends and people, even my parents, right? Hey, I hope you're doing okay. We love you and hope you get the help you need. Shepherds were pouring in all around. And if you know the story, the shepherd walks over to the lamb and picks the lamb up and carries the lamb back into the fold. Nobody was touching me, though. You're not going to pick me up. You're not going to carry me anywhere. Matter of fact, I'll intimidate you and manipulate you so badly that you'll just want to run the other direction away from me, shepherd. But that was my attitude, because I was so ashamed and so broken and so hurt. I was hurt by the church. Some of you this morning have been hurt by the church. There's nothing deeper than a wound from a friend that we're supposed to lift others up, and yet they're cutting down, they're backstabbing, they're saying things about you. It's shocking in that moment. But I went from, again, the lost coin, the Spirit of God found me, praise God. I then transitioned into a season in my life where the shock and awe of consequence of what I did, the trauma, the grief, that caused me to run into the wilderness. But no shepherd was going to find me. I just kept on running and running into the far-off land. I'd become the prodigal son. And so I ran, and my existence, everything about me, was just like the prodigal. I had the money, I had the fame, I had the glory, I had everything else that you would ever desire, until the summer of 1998, 4 years later. Daily methamphetamine use. Again, the hypocrisy was just ridiculous. Health and wellness, fitness, drugs, health and it just didn't match up. But the summer of 98, I was sitting in my apartment. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I can't sleep because I'm up on drugs. And I had this moment of clarity. And the moment of clarity began with me recognizing this is as good as it gets. I was one of two guys in the entire world that did what I did. This is it. And I just thought, this stinks. I wouldn't wish this upon anybody. And the Holy Spirit of God spoke to me, louder than audible. Maybe you've experienced that before. And here's what he said. He said, Michael, this isn't who you are. And I said, well, who am I? He said, let me show you. I said, fine. He said, get up and go to this place. I have a gift that I want to give to you. So remember, I've been the coin. Some of you are lost aimlessly. You just kind of found yourself here this morning or back here this morning. You maybe have an understanding of who Jesus is, who the God the Father is, or the Holy Spirit is, but there's no clarity. You're looking for value and worth from the world system. What you can do, how you can produce, what you look like, who you, what your name is, for example. You may be lost like the coin. There's a light searching for you right now. Some of you have found yourself because of that pain, that deal that they did to you, that you're in the wilderness off to the side. Shepherds maybe are coming to try to find you, but maybe you run and keep running and keep running and find yourself lost in the wilderness like that lamb that was lost kind of aimlessly. And then there's a group like me that was, you're lost purposefully. I chose to keep on running. I chose to abandon the shepherds that searched for me, the Holy Spirit that was searching for me with the light and presence. I just shut my eyes and stayed in the dark as long as I possibly could and just kept on walking. Yes, I ran into things and I bumped into stuff and I was wounded and injured. It didn't matter. I just kept on walking and walking and walking. I was having lunch with a buddy last week and walked in from a bright Dallas afternoon. And I walked into an environment, it's kind of like this, it's kind of lit like this, maybe a little bit lighter. But I walked in, we sat down at the table, I grabbed the menu, and I'm like, holy cow, because my eyes hadn't adjusted, right? And my buddy looks at me and says, oh man, it just takes a couple minutes, you'll adjust to the dark. And I said, I'm using that next week for an illustration. Because you just gave it to me. Maybe some of you are lost purposefully, and you've become accustomed to the dark. You're just used to it now. It's kind of part of your identity right now. That's who you think you are. What's the sin of the coin? The sin of the coin is the agreement with the lie that your value and your worth is determined by what the world says. What's the repentance? The repentance for somebody who's lost like a coin is to let the light of God find you and discover you and agree with what he says you are. You're a beloved daughter, you're a beloved son of the king. Simple. Some of you are lost like a lamb. What's the sin of the lamb? The sin of the lamb is bitterness, anger, and resentment for what they did to me. The lamb was in shock. I was in shock finding my stuff. And I blamed them for the fact that I found myself in the wilderness. What's the repentance of the lamb? You're doing it right now, if that's you. You're stepping in to let the shepherds carry you. Not to fix you, but to carry you. And to lift you up every now and then and say, hey, come on. Let's get back into the fold. It's okay. We got you covered. Let's get back into the fold. That's your repentance, is to agree that you're actually welcomed in an amazing place like this. And that third group, those ones like the prodigal son, purposefully, you've been running and running and running away from the Father. What's the sin of the son? Pride. Pride and arrogance, because they don't think they have a problem, even though they do. Here's the key verse in Luke chapter 15. It's verse 16. When no one would do anything for him, he remembered who he was. If that's you this morning, like that prodigal, I pray that you remember who you are, because remember the story of me being in my apartment? I have a gift that I want to give you. Okay, so I get up, put on my clothes. It was to go to a church that I'd never been to before. And I went to this church, about this size actually. I was so far in the land of the lost that I did drugs in the bathroom. And I came out and I sat in like the back two or three rows. And I just sat there. Worship begins. It wasn't as good as it was here, by the way. Worship begins, and then the songs go down, and I'm thinking, oh, they're going to do announcements, welcome, you know. I was just so cynical, y'all. And instead of that, this lady gets up from the front row, and she says, Pastor, and he's like, yes, I believe I have a word from the Lord. Now, I'm intrigued, right? I'm like, okay, this lady's going to talk for God. This ought to be interesting. Because the veil for drug addicts between the supernatural and the natural is really, really thin for any drug addict. So it wasn't really shocking to me to have somebody say that. But she grabs that microphone and she starts walking. I know the light guys are going to hate me for doing this, but that's okay. She starts walking. Just like this. And she's looking. And she's finding everybody, and she's just looking around. I finally meet eyes with her, and she says, there you are. I'm like, lady, I have never met you before in my life. but I knew what she was saying. And here's what she said. Young man, God is going to restore the years the locusts have eaten. And that was it. That was the moment in which the divine exchange happened in my life. Now, I want to say it was all pink clouds and bunnies from that point forward. It was not. Because the deliverance happened, the Spirit of God spoke, I remembered who I was, and then the Holy Spirit grabbed a shovel and basically said, here you go, get to work. That's what he does. He does what we can't do, and then he says, get to work. Undergird and support what I've done for you. Okay? We expect the miracle, and then we're just going to keep on going. No. Here's the Spirit and the shovel is what I call that. So I went back through drug treatment. I got involved in AA. I started sponsoring people. I got plugged back into church. I quit my contracts with ESPN and Time Warner. 3 more years, 6 figures. This is back in the middle 90s. I'm a single guy. I called my agent. I said, I'm done. He said, you can't be done. I said, I'm done. He said, I will die if I go back. He goes, I got it. And I took a job spray painting football fields for $17,000 a year at a church. I went from the Today Show, 10 days later, I'm the dude with the hat and the shorts spray painting football fields. It was the greatest season of my life. You know why? Because I didn't have to worry about what you thought of me. I didn't have to worry about being bitter and angry and resentful against you. And I didn't have to worry about who I was because, frankly, I was the dude that spray-painted football fields. Not a lot to be proud of there. But I asked myself this question. Who are you, Michael? In the quietness of your heart, would you just ask yourself that question? Who are you? Insert your name. Tom. Debbie. Who are you, Debbie? Gail. Who are you? Susan. Who are you, Susan? Tom. Who are you? Ask yourself that question because I guarantee you, God will tell you exactly who you are, and it'll be the same for every one of you. You are beloved. You are beloved. So, fast forward. Professional staff, ministerial staff. We planted a church. I got called back into the arena where I currently serve right now as one of the executive pastors of one of the largest churches in Texas, Prestonwood Baptist Church. Our membership is 53,000 people. You don't understand. No. I'm the lost coin. I'm not worth anything. You don't understand. No, I'm the lamb that purposefully walked into the wilderness and wouldn't let anybody touch him and carry him back. You don't understand. I can't do this job because I'm the prodigal son. I used drugs in the bathroom of a church, and the heinous stuff that I did in that environment, that was me. I can't be an executive pastor of a church. And the Lord said, you're not. But you're my beloved. You see, God does not look at the outward expression of our existence. He looks at the heart. That's what Samuel told David when he anointed him king before all of the world to see. So this morning, would you guys mind coming up? We'll kind of slow it down here a little bit. Just like that little church in Dallas, Texas, where that lady said that word to me, there was a response and a responsibility that I had. And my responsibility was to obey what the Holy Spirit was telling me to do. And so, in that moment, for me, I walked forward and let this group of people pray over me and help and support and undergird. I allowed myself to be found like the coin, to be lifted up like the shepherd, and to be identified by the Father. That's what I allowed to happen. And in this atmosphere, in this environment this morning, there are three groups. Some of you are lost like a coin. Your value, your worth, everything about you is what you can do. I'd love to pray for you with the team up here as well. Some of you have found yourself in the wilderness right now. Like the lamb, that trauma, what they did to you. And you're like, I'll stay around the shepherd, but I'm not ever going to get close to the shepherd again. That the shepherd is saying, come on, let me pick you up. Let me bring you back into the fold. And then there's a third group. You got lost on purpose, and you're still lost on purpose. You know that you know that you know. There is a Father who waits. He waits and he waits. His message is the same. I love you. You're flawless in my sight. And so in the next few minutes as they sing this song, I want to encourage you, obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. If he's saying, come on and come up forward, you do that. And we're going to take a couple minutes, and I would be honored to just share in the coin being found, the lamb being rescued, and the son or daughter remembering who they are. So Father, I pray right now that as we sing or listen or sit or stand, doesn't matter, that someone in here right now would understand what it means that they can run to the Father anytime they want, and he will run to meet them in their desperation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Would you just stand with us now? If that's you, there's no need to wait. You just come forward anytime that you're ready. We've got folks who are up here for you right now. This moment's for you. Don't hesitate. I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. And I see it now, I'm laying it down. I know that I need you. Run to the Father, fall into grace. Done with the hiding, reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father.
So I run to the Father again and again and again.
long before my first breath, running into your arms is running from life, from death. And I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out just as I am.
To interrupt the Spirit of God, I mean, recognizing, you know, there's time and everything else, but I don't know about you, I'll stay here as long as I need to pray, to look you in the eye, to tell you who you are, because I don't want to leave Michigan until that's done. If you want that, I mean, I'm just gonna hang out. I realize, you know, Scott and the team have got to do some things maybe, but I will tell you this. It has been a joy to be with you guys, because I look out and I see an amazing army of the Lord ready and postured to do amazing things in this region of Michigan. And so until next time, maybe, God bless you all. Have a good afternoon.